Alrighty. Hey, gang. Welcome back, you guys. Another episode of Zero Carb Journal. I'm Matt, as always. And good morning, you guys. Here we are at episode 134. How about that, you guys? What a deal, huh? So, good morning. I'm popping in here surprising you guys. Hey, third leg base. No way, dude. Nice. Happy to see you, man. Thanks for being here. I was just about to say that, yeah, dude, super glad you're here. Thanks for being here. I was just about to say that, that I've given up on, I've given up on trying to schedule this thing. I wanted to apologize to all of you, third leg, you're here now, so I can apologize to you now, and, to all of you who keep being so nice and trying to catch me live and my schedule being all over the place. I wanted to apologize. You know, I have my other channel. I have a chat on Wednesdays on that channel. I'm really enjoying it. I don't want this to sound bad, but I just wanted to say that that channel over the years has kind of become a job for me, and I love it. I'm not complaining. But when I made a schedule for this Zero Carb Journal live, I started to not want to do it anymore. I was like, right on, third leg. I'm glad you're here, man. You know, it started to feel like an obligation. In other words, you know, I was trying to do it at a certain time so I could see more of you guys during the day. And then that was kind of messing up my schedule. I didn't like waiting around to do this. And more than anything, it just kind of like put something right in the middle of my day, my Sunday, my chill day. And you know, Sundays have been ever since I started Zero Carb, since I made my health and you know, my well-being my priority, my number one priority. The journal has been an important part of that, is what I'm trying to say. The journal is something that I do for me. Sorry, everybody. So anyways, that's, you know, that's the gist of it. I just really wanted to say that, it's actually, it means a lot to me that all you guys are here, supporting me. And I say that every week because I sincerely mean it. But what I really wanted to say was that, I want to continue to do this on my terms for all of us, for me, for you guys. So I'm going to recognize that when I put, you know, when I try and structure it a little bit too much, it doesn't work for me anymore. It's not my journal anymore. It's something else. And so I sort of, these last, you know, weeks, month, I sort of have been evaluating that and evaluating this. As you guys know, I took a step back and, nah, it's really important to me. I really, really, really enjoy this, and I needed to sort of balance, you know, what it was and what I was doing with it and all that. So I hope you guys understand. So moving forward, I'm going to do this on Sundays. I'm going to do it maybe every week, maybe every other week, but I'll do it consistently at least. You know, I won't leave you guys alone for a long time and disappear. I'm going to continue to journal on a regular basis. Like I said, no schedule, but regularly you can count on it. And what you can count on is probably that I'll be here early in the morning for me. So it's actually late in the morning for me now. It's almost 8 in the morning. And the reason for that is because I got up at like 4 in the morning and I went and jumped right in the ocean. And I had an awesome surf this morning, you guys. I went surfing. I watched the sunrise come up from the ocean. I saw all my boys out, the whole crew from 1989. Literally was out there. All my boys from my mountain life, you know, decades ago and hundreds of miles and thousands of miles even away. And somehow when the surf comes up, they all show up right down at the bottom of my street. So I just had a great morning. Really, really nice. A lot of energy, a lot of beautiful sunrise. Just beautiful birds and fish and seals and all, just very cool. So I had a great time in the water, and I was really looking forward to getting back here and doing my journal. And so here I am. And so I'm glad to see you guys. Third leg base, man, stoked you're here. I'm glad someone's here. Feel free to, jump in anytime if you got any questions or any input or anything like that. You know, I'm going to continue to do this journal as a live chat because I really like having the opportunity to, interact with you guys. So whatever time zone this is for you, I'm probably going to be doing them around this time on Sundays, maybe a little bit like an hour earlier even, because I just get up way too early. My schedule, man, it's so funny these days. It's I guess they say you get old and you just get an old man schedule. I don't know. I can't stay up late. And then because of that, I mean, I keep trying to actually, it's funny nowadays, I try and force myself to stay up late so I don't wake up so dang early, but it doesn't seem to make much difference. I can't seem to stay up very late. And then I'm up at like, you know, I'm up at 4 most days. And this zero carb thing, it's crazy. It never stopped. Energy isn't the right word, but I never stopped waking up just feeling completely refreshed and ready to go. That was something that changed drastically right when I started zero carb, and it stuck with me. And it's something that I was really enthusiastic about at first. And I still, you know, I love it. I wake up, my eyes open up, and I every morning I just say thanks for another opportunity, to make some progress in another day. And yeah, I just wake up ready to charge, really. That's very different than how I used to be. And that hasn't changed. So yeah, so that's a big part of this journal bean in the morning is I wake up, and like I talked about last time, I'm definitely much more introspective and in tune with myself in the morning before I spin up the gears and start my brain, you know, worrying and whatever else we do during the day. So yeah, so there you go. There's my journal, plan. I'm gonna stick with it. I'm gonna do them on my terms. I'm gonna do them early in the morning. Sorry, Robin. And I hope some of you will catch me sometime. Sarah, I know you said you're always at church on Sunday mornings. I know you are. Hopefully, you know, maybe I'll do them early enough that I can catch you before you go. I think you're probably there early helping set up. You're such a helpful person. But anyways, I do. I think about all you guys. I'd love to be able to schedule and be here at a time that works for everybody, but I won't do it as good if I do it like that. I'll be middle of the day, I'll be thinking about something else. So enough about that. Let's talk about zero carb for a bit. How are you guys doing? You guys making some progress and staying the course and all that stuff? So one of the reasons, you know, one of the reasons why this journal sometimes, why I'm like, I don't know, am I going to do it again? You know, and I do, I'm going to, like I just said, I'm doing it for me. Like when I drift away, I notice I'm drifting away. I'm not going to drift away from this way of eating, but I just sort of drift away from my focus on my health and prioritizing, you know, being as the best I can be, doing whatever it takes to keep myself in tip top shape, as it were. And, where was I going with that? So, you know, the journal is important to me, but what I wanted to say was, that from a zero carb standpoint, geez, after you get out here in the 3 and 4 years, oh, look at that. Let's listen to that for a sec. That's my, that means it's time to feed the koi. So, I'm going to show you guys my short shorts. Check it out. I think my underwear is too long, but, I got shorts on from like 1981 here. So you guys just hang out for a sec. I'm going to go feed the koi. You like those? Those are sweet, aren't they? Be right back. Hold on. All right, so usually I sit with those guys and hang out with them, but I'm gonna hang out with you guys. So that was my koi alarm. It's been fun. I got my little alarm set 3 times a day, and I'm trying to. They're new. They're only like a few. They've only been here a few weeks, or at least a lot of them. So I'm trying to get them on a schedule. You know how that works with animal behavior. If you feed them at the same exact time every day, they get really used to it. So, anyways. Enough about that. Zero carb. Right. I know where I was going. So what I was going to say is, man, you guys, it's so easy. 4 years in here, I'm not at 4. I just say that. I'm over 3.5. So I'm closer to 4. But it's just a way of life now. And, you know, I've talked to a few people online, in person, people sometimes recently I got the question, you know, is the social aspect hard? And it was really interesting for me to ponder that question from where I am now. Because I remember how important that question was a few years ago and how difficult it was. And I talked a lot about it. I still probably will when I go socialize. It's not much of a question for me because I don't socialize. I get that. I mean, I don't really see any other humans. But nonetheless, my answer to that person, how is it socially, from inside of me changed dramatically. Third leg, you definitely can ask. Yeah, I'll come back to you, to that real quick. Let me finish this up. It's just the difference between even a couple years ago and now in terms of how comfortable I am, how settled I am, how normal it feels, how absolutely the right thing to do. Like, there's no doubt in my mind anymore. Now when people are like, oh, maybe you're going to eat some vegetables someday, or you'll have fruit again, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to, unless, you know, I am too poor to be able to afford meat. That was the only thing I could see that would make me go back to eating carbs, which is possible, especially right now. But it's just 4 years in, I'm just like, there's nothing, there's not much to talk about. And that's not true either. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm just so settled in. It just feels so normal. I just feel so good. My daily routine with cooking, shopping. I mean, there's no shopping, you know, for me right now. And cooking is just the same once a day. There's just very little chores. There's very little thought. It's just awesome. And there's no desire. I mean, that's the thing, is it's not like I'm just like, I'll just eat my same old thing. It's like, I want that every day. I look forward to it and I love it. So anyways, I'm not really getting much out, but so I'll come back to your question. Third leg base is, just kind of reiterating how comfortable it is, that gets more comfortable the farther you go down the road. It's so easy to always find food. I never feel restricted. It is nice. It is really nice. The third leg base says sounds really nice. And yeah, man, honestly, when I started this, I was really gung ho. I was really like adamant and outspoken about feeling kind of sorry for everyone who doesn't do this. And now, I mean, I'm just heartbroken really for everybody who will never get to experience this. And I recognize that I have some different conditions, so maybe it's not going to be as dramatic for other people, but it's worth a try. I mean, So third leg base asks, what made you make the big change in your diet, if I may ask? And yeah, third leg. So if you go back to my very first journal, number 1, 2, and 3, I spend hours going over it. And deep into detail, because of course I was deep in it at that time. And you'll see, I look terrible. I'm totally unhealthy, for sure. But to give you the summary, I'm 50. I turned 50 in December. I spent my life, basically, the first up until I was in my mid-30s, really just snowboarding and surfing, to be honest, just chasing snowboard and surf. I had a career in those industries. I lived on the road, kind of in campers and Volkswagen buses and whatever, you know, Colorado in the winter at some ski area for the season, and then Hawaii for the summers, and did that for decades. All that time, I never really realized it, but I think part of the reason that I would stay in the water or in the mountains or whatever is because I was sick. I always had diarrhea when I was a kid. As I grew up, it persisted. I never thought of it as being sick because it was just how I always was. But at any rate, to make a long story short, I was sick throughout my life without really recognizing it. I suffered from really bad depression, bad indigestion, you know, digestion, I should say, like diarrhea mainly. And then there was just a whole host of like a halo or whatever you call them, like symptoms that went with that. I was just inflamed all the time. I didn't know it, but I was, you know, I had acne, adult acne my whole life, my head, like I couldn't shave my head because it would just be covered with acne, and my face was acne, my butt and my back covered with acne. I would get hives around my waistband from, detergents, you know, laundry detergent. I had night sweats. I had joint pain. I couldn't use my tools. I had to stop working. And then all of that kind of, that was over decades, and it, you know, I never connected them up until I was like 40s, but now I look back and I'm like, oh, they're all obviously connected. But I had all those symptoms all through my life. I thought they were just sort of different part and parcel of different things. One of my worst symptoms was I would have syncope. I would pass out. I would lose consciousness. And that happened the first time when I was really young through a really painful experience. I got hurt really bad and I lost consciousness. Scared me, went to the doctor. They said, you fainted. That was like when I was 8 or 9. And then it happened again when I was like 14. And then maybe once again when I was like 17. So by the time I'm like 20, it's only happened like 2 or 3 times. No big deal. But by the time I'm 40, it had happened like a half dozen times. So still not that much over 30 years. But I was aware that I was like losing consciousness. And then as I got to be 43, 44, 45, that it all sort of came to a head. All my digestion stuff built up to bloody stool and, you know, basically everything pointing towards like an IBD, like an autoimmune type digestive disorder. Started trying to get doctor's help, really couldn't get any help. Got a gastroenterologist in my small town through, you know, the crappy insurance, and he was just awful. He was a total quack. Told me diet wouldn't help, and I probably had a food allergy, and I mean, it was just ridiculous. Anyways, I thought I was dying. My digestive stuff was got so bad that I was losing consciousness like multiple times a day. My face was all beat up because I crashed into that wood stove losing consciousness, and you know, I'd wake up on the coming out of it, and I would just, I mean, it was terrifying. I thought I was dying. I thought I had colon cancer. I thought I was dead. I really did. I thought there was no hope for me. And I was terrified. I was really scared, and I couldn't get any help. My doctor was scared for me. He was seeing me every week, but he didn't have any answers. He was trying to get me to a gastroenterologist and get a scope, but we were like months out. And so I just started searching for, you know, what could I do? And so for a year, I did a Crohn's disease specific diet called the specific carbohydrate diet. And that was a really restrictive diet. You actually could eat more than zero carb. Yeah, it was brutal, third leg. I mean, I'm kind of glossing over it. I mean, it was when I was 45, 5 years ago, it was brutal. I was just, and I would live alone, you know, I had pushed everyone away because I'd been so depressed for so long. I'm not depressed anymore, by the way. That totally disappeared when I changed my diet. But I was depressed my whole life. Anyone who knows me will tell you that. They'll tell you that I was just like this, like really forward and friendly. And I was a salesperson as my job. I was in snowboard world. I could go into snowboard shops and high five, be everyone's best bro. But when I left, I would just go hide in my Volkswagen van and I would, you know, hermit out and recharge. I was just an introvert and depressed, and all of that disappeared when I changed my diet. And so yeah, like I said, I found a diet that was specific to Crohn's disease, which is what I still think is what I have. I've never gotten a diagnosis because of this diet, but at any rate, I thought I had that. So I followed a doctor I believe in, Dr. David starts with an S. I can't remember. He's at the University of Washington. And he wrote a great book called The Specific Carbohydrate Diet, which was a revamp of a book from like, I think the 70s, which was a revamp of the Haas diet from the 30s, which was like the original diabetic keto diet, or something like that. I'm getting a little confused. But anyways, specific carbohydrate diet. So it's the concept was polysaccharides are what's the problem for people with Crohn's disease. Polysaccharides are, again, I haven't, it's 5 years ago, I could have told you all this stuff. Now I've forgotten most of it because it doesn't matter anymore. But one of the, you know, building blocks of you know, polysaccharides appear in plant foods, and in the diet books, the specific carbohydrate diets, they're trying to avoid those polysaccharides. So you mostly eat meat, you eat yogurt every day because they're really geared towards gut health, biome, you know, stuff. And then there's certain vegetables that they do include. And I went through that specific carbohydrate diet through a year, mostly fruit, actually, not vegetables. You eat a lot of fruit, so you get a lot of fructose, which I think is a problem in hindsight. But I did that for a year, and as time went on, I just kind of kept whittling it down because there were things in that diet that gave me problems. And by the end of it, I was almost eating just meat anyways. And then somewhere along the way, I stumbled upon someone who had done the zero carb thing with good success. And I was cheering. I was going to my doctor. I was working on this diet, but I was losing consciousness, bleeding, in pain. I mean, I was a mess. I was just like I was so fatigued. That's the thing I kind of forget now is that I would spend, I mean, I had like maybe a couple productive hours during the day and I was just laid out. It was crazy. It was totally not me. I was sick. And so kept getting sicker with that diet and found zero carb, thought I'd try it. And to be honest with you, I had a brutal transition. That first month was really hard for me. But I could see like the light, you know, there was glimpses that were better than I'd been in a long time. So I stuck with it. And yeah, that's how I came to zero carb. And, you know, it's important for me to remember, like I sit here and talk about how easy this is and how great it is and how I wish everyone would do it. But, you know, I wouldn't be here unless I thought I was dying. I mean, I was such a vegetable head. I was such a gardener. I had been a vegetarian, you know, for many years on and off during my life. I had vegetarian girlfriends all my life. I grew huge gardens. I lived mostly on vegetables. I ate very little meat. Hi, Waylon. Good morning, bud. And yeah, I never would have thought this was a reasonable diet. I mean, there's no way you would have convinced me. I would have just been like, you're crazy. No chance I'm doing that. That's ridiculous. All meat, you're going to die for sure. You know, I was just as far on the other side of the fence as you could be. And so, you know, if I hadn't been so sick, I don't think I would have been here. So to be honest with you, you know, I didn't just fix being sick with these last few years. I mean, I fixed a lot of stuff in my life. And the diet is really the key to all of it. I'm not going to say the diet fixed it all, but it gave me sort of the inner strength and focus and steadiness and all that to be able to get better in every way. So, yeah. So, Carolyn, hi, good morning. So good to see you. Thanks for being here. And yeah, so Third Leg says, I'm glad to hear you found what's working best for you. That's awesome. You look healthy and good. Thank you, man. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, every time I look back and I think about this diet and I'm just like, it's so hard to tell people because I know how, outside of the journal here, but you know, in real life, it's like, I know how crazy it seems. But, right? Like, you can't deny this shit. I mean, I can't. It's undeniable. And so, another part of that is that I went, like, when I went surfing this morning, one of the people I saw down there is my dear old friend who suffered all his life from pancreatitis and diverticulitis. And I've told this story many times, but he's got a few, you know, a couple young daughters, and he's been, you know, struggling with his health for decades. By the way, he had the same gastroenterologist I did, but he had him for decades from when he was young, like a little child. And he said that guy almost killed him. but anyways, I saw him today and same thing. I mean, I told him about zero carb. I don't even think it's been a year yet. Maybe it's been a year. Maybe it's been 2 years on Christmas coming up this December. I don't remember if it's 1 year on December or 2 years, but at any rate, no, I think it's just one. I think he hasn't even been a year yet. But at any rate, he's out there surfing. He was bedridden for the last decade. I'm exaggerating. He wasn't bedridden, but he's been really sick. And so, yeah, you know, again, he's another one who had some stuff going on. But everyone I see try this, the results are profound. There's not anyone who sees me who knew me 5 years ago who doesn't look at me and go, whoa, what happened to you? You look amazing. So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's undeniable. So, so I am, thank you. It does. It feels really good. And I think that, you know, I was talking earlier about how settled in I am, just how comfortable I am with the way of eating, with my health, confident. I don't have any questions anymore. And, you know, a big part of that, I think, honestly, has been these blood tests these last few months, this Let's Get Checked deal. If you guys don't know, these guys, I've got a partnership with these guys, letsgetchecked.com. In the description below, there's a link, and I've got a code for you. You can use my code ZEROCARB, and you can get 20% off all your blood tests. These are blood tests you do at home. You can test your CRP, you know, your inflammatory markers, your cholesterol, your, for me, testosterone, you know, whatever. There's a million things. Vitamin E, vitamin D. You guys might have seen my video on vitamin B12. And I got to tell you that I always have had these little questions about what's, you know, maybe going on with me. Getting these blood tests these last few months, it's not like I keep thinking, oh, the blood test, I'm fine. It's more just like, there's nothing in my mind about questioning this deal anymore. I just feel so confident. So Carolyn says, I watched a lot of your journal a couple of years ago. You've come a long way. Back then, it still seemed like a lot of bad days and just a few good glimmers. As you said, yeah, Carolyn, that's been, you know, my journey, kind of all along is that, I've never really gotten all the way out of the woods, but I've always felt, you know, just so much better than I did when I wasn't doing this, that it's been worth sticking through. And, I still do have a sick night, and, you know, I've pretty much identified it. I'm pretty sure, you know, I have a bile acid problem, whether it's, I think it's on the absorption side. I don't think I can reabsorb it. You know, you make bile acid, it goes in your stomach, and then I think you're supposed to reabsorb it in your ileum or your small intestine. And I've heard, talked to other people who said that Crohn's over the decades have scarred their small intestines such that they can't reabsorb it anymore. And so the bile acid goes through, and once it gets to your colon, it just, you know, it releases because the acid is so strong. Your colon wants it out of there. So at any rate, I still have those episodes. It is dramatically influenced by what and how I eat. So I just recently changed to my homegrown cows, like just a couple weeks ago. And I always do better on those. And I think a big part of it, to be honest with you, is just because it's leaner. When I go back to the store-bought meat, the ground beef doesn't usually make me sick, but I'll always end up adding some ribeye and things like that. And it's the gristly, fatty bits, bacon, ribeye. I mean, I can eat those things and I love to, but if I eat too much in one sitting, it just doesn't digest. And then I have those sick nights, but they're way different. It's a different, those sick nights are not really, they're not related to my inflammation sickness at all. Those are just sort of a mechanical sickness, like too much fat doesn't digest, too much bile acid doesn't digest, gets flushed out, and then I'm fine. It's not the, it doesn't really bring on the inflammation. But yeah, I still do have issues. I'm way better than I've ever been. And it's what works, you know, best for me. I mean, do I wish I could have no sick days? Yeah, for sure. But yeah, thank you, Carolyn. It does. It feels amazing, to be honest with you, like I said, and to not be depressed and to not be, you know, have all the mental parts that go with it. Sometimes I think about going back, you know, I say I'm never going to, and I'm confident I'm not, but every now and then I'll be like, maybe you're making a mistake, you know, maybe there'd be some improvement going the other way. But I think about, just how bad I was. And then I think about all that sort of residual halo effects of eating the plants that I didn't really notice until I got rid of it, you know, but mostly it's the mental for me, it's the depression. So yeah, Carolyn, thank you. Yeah, I have healed enough to make bile. I couldn't tell before if I wasn't making enough or making too much or not absorbing it. It's been sort of a long journey with that process, and I haven't, unfortunately, been able to get any help with that. That's the one thing that I do wish I had access to better medical care, because I do think that there are some advanced tests for the bile stuff, bile acid stuff, but they're pretty esoteric, and I think you need a real specialist, and I think you got to be really lucky to get someone who's on that level. I'm not too worried about it. I'm not deteriorating. You know, I'm only getting better. So, hey, Cuner. Hey, man. Nice to see you, dude. Welcome, bro. I went surfing this morning, my friend. I know you'd appreciate that. I know you like hearing of us getting after our deal there. So, yeah, I got up early and got a surf before the journal here. Hope you've been climbing, man. I know you guys are probably getting opened up. You're probably doing a lot better than us in that regard. So hopefully you're getting out there. But yeah, Carolyn, yeah. And Carolyn says stick with lean. And you know, that's one of the real driving factors for me making this journal was that in the beginning I was so frustrated with all of the information out there that simply said, if you're having problems, add more fat. And I was like, I can't add more fat. And I'm sure there's other people like me. So there's zero carb, but there's a few different ways of doing it. And anyone who thinks there's only one right way is, you know, that's one of my old themes is getting frustrated. Those people who said there was only one right way. But yeah, I'm going to stick with the lean, Carolyn. That's what works for me. I still, you know, I need some fat, right? We need some. But I definitely, in terms of zero carb, I'm definitely on the lean side. You know, I still think it, I eat quite a bit of fat in general. But in zero carb framework, I am pretty lean. I don't know how lean. I used to speculate like 60-40. I think that's probably still fairly accurate. But I don't know. So, Kuhner, glad to hear you're climbing. You're middle of a heat wave. Man, we have... This summer for us has been, it's always cool here. Like all, you know, our summers are always cool, but we usually have some days, you know, in the 80s at least, maybe even barely break into the 90s Fahrenheit. But man, this summer it's been pretty much below 70. I don't think I've broken 70 here at the house, but one or two days. And today it's looking sunny and there's not much wind, so we might get there. So Carolyn says, yeah, it's a fat crazy community. I eat lots of fat, but I know several guys like you. Do you, Carolyn? Wow, that's awesome. I'm so happy to hear that. Maybe it's a male physiology thing. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't talked. It does seem, it's funny that you mentioned that because I have definitely gotten the fat vibe from more women. So I don't know, but hey, thanks for being here. I really appreciate you stopping in, Carolyn. Hopefully I'll catch you next time. Really, really nice to have you here. Have a great day. Enjoy your Sunday, please. So it's been nice and cool here. I'm still eating lean. Let's see, what else? What else we got to talk about, you guys? Zero carb. You know, one thing out there in the zero carb world is just talking about the one true way of eating and how that isn't true. And Carolyn backing me up with some other male folks who eat lean. That's really nice to hear. But one thing I've noticed in the zero carb world is we're sort of swinging the pendulum back the other way from that. It was mostly PKD. It was the Paleo Medicina people who really... I don't want to talk bad about them because I think they're great. Probably actually I'd even like to go there and see if they could help me. But I don't necessarily believe their shtick 100%. I believe they're working hard to help people. But I don't think they have the one true answer, which is sort of how they project it sometimes. Again, like I said, I still have an open mind, about their, you know, what they do and that maybe they could help me, but I do get frustrated with this is the one way that works. And I do think that they came in hot a couple years ago with that high fat is mandatory. It's the only way that works. And a lot of people, newbies, you know, of course, bought into it because when you're new, you're looking for some signposts, you're looking for some guidelines. So anyways, for the last year or so, we had a real strong, you gotta eat more fat. And it's definitely, we're balancing that out a little bit. I'd like to think that I'm helping. because I've been pretty, you know, I've been a stick in the mud with regards to this. When people said eat more fat, I said, no, no, not everybody. So I just wanted to say that I'm seeing with optimism that the word is getting out there, that there isn't one true way. I think we're starting to have enough pushback on the Franks and, you know, people who like to claim an optimal diet. So third leg base, what about salt? How much do you usually work with? That's a really great question. Third leg base. Let me go to Kuhner real quick. Cause Kuhner's talking about PKD and he says, I tried the PKD, fat to protein ratio for some months ago and it caused diarrhea for me. And yeah, you know, it's, And again, it's, I think it's worth playing with, right? I'm sure you learn some things, but it's tough. A touch dogmatic. Yeah, Carolyn, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Just a touch though. Like I said, I still have an open mind. I'd like to believe that they're helping a lot of people and I think they're doing good work. I just wish they weren't so dogmatic. So that's always my hope though for everybody. Me too. So third leg base, let's go back to salt. Salt's a great one. And I've been wondering about it myself lately. Actually, it's so funny. It's a real cyclical one in the zero carb world. It's a real cyclical one in my personal journey. I'd like to think it cycles for everybody, but maybe I'm just unique. So I, go through periods of absolutely none. Like I don't add any at all. And actually that's been the majority of the time I've been zero carb. Like I said, 3 and coming up on 4 years now. We're just past 3.5, if I'm honest, 3 years and 7, 8 months, whatever. But for most of that, I actually haven't eaten any salt. I didn't add any. I never would put it on my food. No supplements, just none. And to be honest, I did pretty darn well like that. A few months ago, I started experimenting with light salt. And as you guys probably know, light salt is like about half the sodium and then they put some potassium in there. And the reason I was doing that is because I've never really gotten away from the cramps. I had them when I started, of course. And when I started, I did, I started like most carnivores. I used a buttload of salt. I mean, I used so much salt those first few months and I had horrible cramps those first few months. And I attributed it all to transition. And I tried everything those first few months. I was actually making water with, I still have bags of magnesium citrate and potassium, whatever it is. And, so I was making electrolyte water and I was really worried. I was sweating the details, right? Those first few months, that's what you do. But my cramps were bad and they weren't getting much better despite the electrolytes. And so somewhere in there, maybe 3 months in or so, I stopped. I just dropped all the salt. I dropped all electrolyte supplementation at all. And you know what? My cramps got exponentially better. So for a long time, I stuck with that. I didn't add any salt. And my cramps were pretty minimal, but I'm not going to say they were gone. I still have cramps and they're not horrible. But cramps are no fun, and it's mostly like in the morning I wake up and it's a calf cramp and it's not every day. It's like a few times a week probably. And honestly, I just went surfing. I got out of the water and I came home because I got a calf cramp. And that happens actually almost every time I go surfing these days. It doesn't stop me. It only happens at the end of the session after I've been in the water for a couple hours. It's because the water is 48 degrees. I mean, it's freezing cold water and it's cobblestone rocks, and the surf pushing over them. And so, you walk out there and you're just doing like crazy calf workout. And then you get out there and you lay on your board. And so your toes are pointed. And then you exert and then you jump up. And anyways, after a couple hours out there, that's the first thing that happens is my calves start to cramp up from the cold water and the walking on the rocks. And it sucks. Not going to lie. It sucks. And so I've been doing whatever I can to try to ameliorate, whatever you say that, get rid of the cramps. So I thought I'd try this. So I tried this a few months ago and I like it. So I've been sticking with it. Tastes good. Right. Hasn't really helped the cramps. To be honest with you, now that we're talking about it, I might have cramps more now. And I did notice that last time when I was eating salt, I felt like I got more cramps. My theory was that I mess up my body's ability to regulate my electrolytes. And that if I just don't add anything, then my body can eventually stabilize. And that was really how I felt when I dropped salt the first time. And I probably need to drop it again. One thing I'm concerned about is that now that I'm switched to my homegrown beef, I'm concerned that I actually might end up really deficient. And the reason for that is because commercially grown beef, they manage those beef electrolytes, right? There's always salt licks. That's a real important part of raising cattle. And depending on where you live, you know, you get your soil tested and you might have selenium or copper or whatever else in these salt licks to make sure that the animals are getting all the, you know, metals and nutrients they need that may be leached out from the grass if it's been in pasture for decades. So I do get concerned that if I only eat my own cows, that I might end up with whatever deficiency they have. So that is one thing about salt and supplements that when I was just eating store-bought beef, I didn't worry about it and I felt great. I haven't noticed that with my homegrown beef, I haven't noticed any difference, but I am wondering like how much salt is in my pasture, how much selenium is in my pasture. Am I going to end up deficient on those things? So, yeah, it is what it is. So Kuhner says the cramps I experienced for a couple of months somehow completely disappeared. I do add quite some salt to my food, though, the one with iodine, I think. No other electrolytes. Yeah, Kuhner, it's really interesting. You know, I think it's cyclical. I think, like I was just sort of alluding to, I think it's really strongly influenced on what we make up our diet out of. I tend to believe now, after living for years, literally, I mean, I went like a couple of years at least without adding any salt and eating just pretty much store-bought ground beef. You know, I really feel now that that our electrolyte levels are probably, we probably have a broad range we can handle. We probably have a small range that we naturally reside in. And I feel like it's kind of just sort of moderated by our diet. And if we eat sort of relatively the same things and they have X amount of those things in there, our bodies just sort of stabilize into a stable electrolyte pattern. But I think that when you throw adding salt or not adding salt and you mix those things up, and I also think that when you dramatically change the nature of your diet, even if it's still zero carb, but like if I eat beef for a week, and then the next week I add bacon and I eat bacon all week. You know, I just really changed my electrolyte profile from week to week. And I think that that screws up your body. I'll say my body. I think it screws up my body's ability to regulate electrolytes and I end up with cramps. So I don't, like my experience hasn't been that it's like cramps, add more electrolytes, they're gone. You know, don't have cramps, have less electrolytes, eventually they come back. The correlation isn't that direct. And I actually have had my best luck with cramps when I wasn't adding any electrolytes at all. So, and then there you are, Kuhner, adding a ton of salt and being just fine. And I got to say, I wonder if it's just consistency over time. And your body just says, okay, I can manage this. Keep it the same, and we'll hold it at this level. So I don't know. And yeah, Kuhner, it is interesting about the cows with regards to what they eat, because, you know, what the cows eat really matters. And we always talk about it in sort of the bigger scale of like, well, are they grass fed or are they grain fed? Like those are the only things that matter. But like, there's a huge difference, right? If I showed you a picture of my pasture outside right now in August, you'd see that it's 3 feet tall, deep, dark, green. If you walked through it right now, you'd be soaked. You know, it hasn't rained. It's just, that's how it is here. It's just misty in the morning and the grass is growing like gangbusters here in mid-August. If you were in most of the places where they grow cattle, you know, like the central of the plains or the desert southwest or, you know, even the south, you'd be running out of grass right now. You know, your pastures are dry and stubbly. And so in other words, all I'm trying to say is pastures are different everywhere. And my pasture may have had cows on it for 50 years and there could be one next door that they just broke out of the forest and it hasn't had any cows on it. And if I was eating their cows, maybe I'd have the perfect salt balance and maybe my cows don't have the right salt balance or whatever. You just don't know. But what I'm trying to say is I think there's a lot more than just grass fed and grain fed. And I don't think that when you're eating, you know, from the store, it matters as much because you're going to get a variety and you're going to get sort of a blend of all of those. And you'll hopefully end up somewhere in the middle with regards to all of your nutritional requirements. But when you go to a single source, like I am right now, and I probably, you know, it was two cows, I'll probably be eating them until January or February without much else in there. And so, yeah, you know, it is important to think about what was their status, right? Like if they were short on whatever, selenium, for instance, then I'm probably going to end up short on selenium, right? So yeah, and I don't, you know, I don't know that there's a, I don't know if there's any way for me to diagnose those things or, you know, without being a real mad scientist with some crazy equipment. You know, you can send your grass off actually to, I think it's the conservation, group, but anyway, you can send your grass off and have it tested and things like that. Maybe I'll do that. It might be interesting. But anyway, it's some interesting stuff. And so with regards to cramps and electrolytes, I'm going to withhold, I hold the opinion that, that there isn't, one right answer. There's not one true way. I've had great results when I wasn't eating salt at all. I've had pretty good results now eating this light salt. I mean, not much different. My biggest changes have just come over time. I feel like it's more about your body's ability to regulate than it is about your ability to consciously regulate. In other words, I don't think you're going to get it from the outside and say, I need more magnesium. I'll put this in. I fixed it. You know, I don't think it's going to work that way. I think you could do that on a regular basis and you could train your body to a status, you know, to a stasis rather, to a balance point. But yeah, I guess you get what I'm trying to say. So, okay. I think that might be my journal for the day. Let's see what else. Is there much else to talk about? Been eating my homegrown beef. That's about it. I don't think I have much else to share. Other than I've been feeling great, you guys. And did I say something funny, little third leg, or did we? Oh yeah, Kuhner says, yeah, that could be the case. There doesn't seem to be just one correct formula for stuff like electrolytes, fat protein ratios. Yeah, there really doesn't. And, you know, I say it all the time, but that's one of my biggest frustrations with some, you know, of the information that's shared with about zero carb out there. And one of my biggest reasons for coming on here when I started was to try and just share the opposite opinion, not necessarily the opposite, but just that there doesn't seem to be any one answer. There doesn't seem to be just one correct formula for electrolytes. You know, if you have cramps, add magnesium. You know, that's what you're going to get that for sure. What I would say is try adding magnesium. You know, I don't think that you can say this is going to fix it or that's going to fix it, but there are things that are worth trying. So third leg base, asked me if I've tried bone broth. And yeah, third leg base. So when I started again, just like with most other stuff, when you start, you really sweat the details, right? So of course, and bone broth was a big part of my specific carbohydrate diet. So I was way tuned up on bone broth back when I started. I incorporated it. I felt like it was, you know, crucial. So I'd have it daily or whatever in the beginning. And as time went on, I just sort of, you know, dropped it. And it's an interesting question. Perhaps bone broth maybe has something that could help cramps. I don't know. Cramps for me these days, I want to say it. I made them sound like they're an issue. They're really not. I mean, to me, nowadays, my cramps are kind of like cramps. I used to get cramps before I was zero carb, you know, and on a regular basis. I mean, not all the time. I don't get them all the time now. I don't wake up with one every day, but there were certain things I do and certain times when I could plan on cramps, and it still is that way. So, I'm not sure, you know, whether it's something I need to, you know, if it's ever going to get any better than it was. I know lots of older folks get cramps as they get older. I think our circulation gets worse and, you know, I try and stretch and all that, but at any rate, bone broth, interesting, input, you know, maybe that would provide some stuff the own way and, you know, provide nutrients in a different way. I should say, make them more available or something. And maybe that would help cramps, but I haven't had bone broth for a long time, to be honest with you. And Kuhner says, I made my own bone broth for the first time this week. I like it. It feels nourishing, and it does. It can be really good. It can feel really nourishing. I just got away from it. You know, I don't snack. Once you've been zero carb for a while, you kind of, like, I don't really want things in between meals. I don't want snacks. I don't want another kitchen gadget or another kitchen task. To be honest with you, when I had my cows slaughtered this time around, I told them to keep the soup bones. I mean, I gave away, I forfeited my, you know, right to own 2 cows worth of all of their organs, all of their bones. I mean, it's well, for people who say they eat nose to tail, they'd be shocked, right? Like, how can you do that? Why would you get rid of all that stuff? And I'll tell you, it's because for 20 years now or so, I've been raising cows, or 15 years, and filling my freezer with that stuff. I just don't use it. I like bone broth. I make it. But by the time I get to the next year's cows, I usually still have a freezer full of bones. I might eat bone broth a few times a year. But it's good, but it's greasy. That fat doesn't make me feel very good if I don't skim the fat off the top. Yeah. So anyways, I used to love it. I used to feel like it was important. Kind of got away from it. And now I'm just living the simple life. I don't really putter around in the kitchen anymore. It used to be a huge part of my life. I don't really have kitchen gadgets. Like, my bone broth little crock pot is stored away. But I do, you know, I love it. It can be really good. And it can feel like it gives you a boost. And Third Leg says, I can definitely feel a boost. So, you know, definitely I encourage you to keep eating it. And maybe I'll come back and try it again one of these days. Although I just forfeited all those bones, like I said. I just didn't want to keep them. Saladino said he fixed his electrolyte lights with honey, but that might be more risky. I think you know what I'm thinking there, bud. I feel like I pick on that guy a lot, so I'm just going to try not to say anything. I hope it's working for him. Sorry, you guys. It's just, you know how I feel about all that stuff. No negative, though. I like that guy a lot. I really, honestly, really do. I mean, he's a doctor, right? Maybe adding honey to your electrolytes is maybe he's exactly right. I don't know. He's experimenting. He's going down that path. Totally encourage him. Totally encourage him. I don't mean to take anything away. Thanks for laughing, though. It's funny, right? Like, we all have our things, and you guys know my thing at this point. And it's really, you know, it is. It's just time in the game. You can hear me when I talk about it. I mean, that's what I've been talking about all day, is just how I've moved past all that stuff. And I haven't moved past it because I'm better than it. I haven't moved past it because I'm smarter. He's probably right. He's probably doing more discovery. I'm fine. I just don't care anymore. I just don't need I just don't need the complexity. You know, I just don't need to boggle my brain with the what ifs and the nutritional RDAs of someone else's, you know, belief. And it's just all behind me now. So, and it's nice to explore for sure. Third Leg Base. I mean, I hope I never lose sight of that. You know, I may not be exploring right now, but I hope I never give people crap for doing that. You know, I do a little bit with Saladino, but hopefully you guys get it. I'm definitely backing him in every way. I just, you know, honey, I'm just whatever. But yeah, Third Leg for sure, man, for sure. Please, please keep exploring. And you know, if what's better for you isn't zero carb, man, go that way. Like I said, sometimes I wonder, maybe there's a better something for me too. I don't believe there is. But yeah, we got to keep trying to progress, right? So I'm all about it. I hope that you guys get it. All right, you guys, I'm going to do one more plug. Because I got to tell you guys, it's making a big difference in my life. It really is. In various ways. One, in my confidence in the diet, just knowing my blood tests are good, knowing I don't have any hidden things to worry about. As a matter of fact, our talk about electrolytes, I'm going to look into this and see. I might actually reach out to them and ask them if they have any kind of electrolyte testing. I don't know if, I think it changes so fast because it's water soluble. It's not probably something you can test. But at any rate, letsgetchecked.com. These home blood tests have given me a ton of confidence. Please check them out. Use my code ZEROCARB. There's a link below you can go to. If you buy some, I get a little piece of it, and it helps me out a ton. And I just want to say thank you for everyone who's done that. Thank you guys for all your support. I am... I'm not going back to work. It doesn't look like my boat people have let me know that they are on the ropes. So I'm doing what I can to continue to make progress here. I definitely am thankful for letsgetchecked.com and any opportunities I have. But at the same time, I want you guys to know this journal is definitely not a sales pitch, even though I keep trying to make it one. And going back to what I said when I started, I'm going to just keep doing it on my schedule. So hopefully you guys can be here. I'll probably do it early on Sundays for me. Because it's really important to me, and I want to keep this thing personal and real. And I was going to say something else about experimenting, but really I just wanted to say that that as time goes on, you know, the confidence you gain, the place where I am in terms of being confident and not needing to wonder if I need to add honey or whatever else, is so great. And I think that everyone hopefully gets there as time goes on. I'm really curious to see, as a matter of fact, talking about Paul Sheldon, I'm really curious to see where he is in a few more years. It'll be really interesting to see. I think he's a great proponent of what we're doing here. So really curious to follow his journey. And you guys, thank you so much for being here. Third Leg Base, thanks, man. I really, really, really appreciate you being here. I can't tell you how much it means just to have somebody here to interact with. Kuhner, you're always such a pleasure, man. Thank you. Hope you get some climbing. I hope it cools off for you. Carolyn, I know you're gone. Thanks for being here. Those of you who are coming later, I won't remember all of your names, so I'm not even going to say it, but you know I'm thinking about you all. And I really appreciate your support. It means so much to me, you guys. So I'm going to come back. I'm going to keep doing this. I'll be back in a week or two. I don't know. But, you know, to be honest with you, not having a schedule and leaving it free like this makes me more enthusiastic about doing them. Because every time I get off, whenever I turn this thing off, I'm always really happy that I did it. I always really appreciate having done it. So I'll keep doing them. I'm just going to do them on my terms. So don't expect a schedule. Don't expect any. Don't expect me to put too much effort in. It's definitely a casual scene. But I love hanging out with you guys here. So really appreciate you guys being here. I guess that's enough of me. I've said it 10 times now. So I will hit the outro clip, and I'll see you guys real soon. So I hope you guys have a great week. Stay the course, you guys. Make some progress. Work on yourselves. Let's get stronger and healthier. And I'll see you in a couple weeks. All right, you guys have an awesome week. Thanks for being here.